And today I'm going to talk about the last source where the damaging control is coming from, and I intentionally left it for the end, for towards the end of the sermons during of this topic. It's like to compare, it would be like a person who has the fourth stage of cancer. It's the most complicated, difficult. And it is the same with this root, the same with this source of controlling. And you probably would guess it would be concentrating on yourself. It's about narcissistic people. I know that we all tend to concentrate on ourselves. We live in our bodies, so we are more or less concentrating on ourselves. But it is the mindset that we gain throughout lifetime. It's thinking structures that say that you're the center of attention. And even if you're saved, if you're a Christian, it doesn't automatically mean that you are protected from these dangers. So if you are not crucifying your flesh nature, your flesh thoughts, you are potentially a victim, to become a victim. Because if you remain in that place of selfishness, there is a spirit, or even the whole principality, called Jezebel spirit. And she usually introduces herself to narcissistic or selfish people. And if we're not careful, she can fully take over us, and others around us can be even affected and influenced. Next to such narcissistic people, others can't really grow and flourish next to these narcissistic people. Others fade and wither. And I've seen a lot of these relationships where young girl and boy starts relationship, and the girl used to be so happy and radiant, and then some time after, I see her unhappy, depressed, all faded. It's like she is lost, and it's not a healthy relationship. It's not a sign of healthy relationship, because it should be that when you are in healthy relationship, you should grow together. You should grow to your full potential. Because in these harmful, unhealthy relationships where one of the people or both are narcissistic or selfish, one of them becomes really, starts doubting in themselves, starts doubting their self-value, their worth. They jump to some makeovers to prove their worth and value, some surgeries or drastical measures. So how the spirit of Jezebel is manifestating, it is talking more about it in the First Kings book, the chapter 19. If you remember, but if you haven't read, I encourage to read. It's talking about the king Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And as we see in that story, it was not the king Ahab who ruled, but it was that Jezebel who indirectly ruled through him. And this spirit will always search people to work through, to who they can control and influence others. And usually it finds these people who are uncertain of who they are, of their identity, who have a low self-esteem and value. and people of people who would be influenced by such spirit would normally become victims of such controlling. And I also want to encourage and ask each one of you who listen and hear this word that you would apply it for yourself, you would analyze your heart and not try to apply it for others, for your... So also doesn't mean that it's also applied, could, can be also applied only for women, but it's also in men. And Herod was one of the example in the Bible of how the spirit manifested. And if you listen to these examples, these manifestations of the spirit, and you notice any of the signs in your behavior, your life, really, I warn you, I really encourage you to rethink and make changes. And the place where the spirit of Jezebel dwells is in our thoughts. It's the thoughts that come from flesh nature. When we oppose the word of God, when we live our lives according to our flesh nature and thoughts. Those people who are narcissistic, it's very common that they're greatly gifted, talented. They have a lot of talents, great artists or preachers. The gift itself is great, but their character, their heart is really rotten and corrupted. These people can really seem to be very intelligent, very they know a lot. They have a lot of charisma, a lot of physical good appearance physically. And in these examples that I mentioned, where girls faded and withered next to the men who were, as you see, they were all successful. You could put them on any magazine covers. They had this appearance of arrogance and self-confidence. But normally these narcissistic personalities never really devote to any relationships long-term. They tend to really change partners, and whenever they feel bored and that they got uncomfortable, they want to run away to others, or because they only think about themselves, about their needs. Also, these people might impress you with their knowledge, but we have to understand one thing, that gifts and talents, what people gained, it cannot be canceled. God doesn't take away. But at the same time, our character and hearts can be really into the wrong place. So I want to encourage us to not to look into exactly our talents or gifts, but into character. Character traits. Just like Paul encouraged us in the Bible, and last time I talked about it, that he didn't boast in any of his talents, but also just encouraged people to follow his example of his behavior, his lifestyle. We should look at people's lifestyle, their life choices. And normally, if such person is being confronted, the person can't easily acknowledge that he was wrong, and it's not easy for them to apologize, to repent. Maybe you can hear them say, "I'm sorry." And they would say it with this mood that if they feel attacked or blamed, saying, okay, okay, I'm sorry. As usually, I'm the one who's guilty. It's my fault. It's really difficult for them to apologize because normally these people who are influenced by a dazzled spirit, they have been hurt before, already hurt in the past. And Jezebel, when we look at her story, she had a very unjust father. She was rejected by her father. She was given to the planned marriage, arranged marriage. She was forced to marry. It was not her choice, her love. Her mother was also a very influential personality. So normally these people are already hurt and in their life. They have a lot of wounds. And the other way how you can encourage this, how you can, another danger is when parents spoil their children, especially who have only one child. They tend to really just satisfy their needs without really seeing if it's really useful for them. We cannot always satisfy their needs and spoil them, because sometimes even single moms, they feel guilty that they want to compensate some kind of, compensate with expensive gifts, items, because you feel like your children have been robbed of a healthy family example, that they don't have a example, but we cannot really let them do whatever they want. We still have to, we have to oppose if we see that something is not good for them, if it would bring harm. We cannot grow, because if we behave in this way, they would grow into being a really narcissistic and selfish personalities. And it's also, you would notice these people by how difficult for them is to acknowledge that they were wrong. If you try to oppose them, they would always feel attacked or blamed and would make you feel bad, that they would try to manipulate and feel, they would act like victims. And normally these people can also seem very spiritual and devoted in church, like good ministers, good even serving others. But as an example, these people always try to defend God in a way that the person is always trying to confront others in the sake of defending the biblical truths, but he's always, the person is always searching for conflicts. He would never hear out another one. They would always argue, throwing Bible verses, Bible truths into other. Have you ever heard Jesus arguing? No, when you walk with God, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, you never have to prove anything to anybody. You just calmly explain your opinion. You tell the truth in a calm manner, but you don't have to fight and argue, trying to prove your point, trying to win the argument. They usually feel hurt when you oppose or confront them, saying, can you imagine that he confronted me? How dare he? How dare he do that? And normally when people, unbelievers, what's happening in the church, they don't want to come and be a part of it because they see that they're fighting within themselves. And for those people who always search for conflicts, I want to say that you are searching how to prove your point. You're defending yourself, but not God. If you do things in the name of God, just stop. It's not the right behavior. They think that everyone who is who doesn't agree with them is their enemy. And they start to see other people as threat, as their enemies, who they have to fight with. But it's not them who's really threatening you. It's your ego. It's your flesh nature. Always look at the example of Jesus, of apostles, of Paul. That's not how they acted, how they behaved. Usually these types of people are unforgiving. They are very quick to criticize others, always see what's wrong with other people, seeing their wrongdoings. But if you try to tell them what they're doing wrong, you would see a very different reaction. They're very quick to be offended. They really pick on small details. They would argue over smallest of things. And they would also search for others to blame, not themselves, but they would always notice bad traits in other people, what others are doing wrong. They would always criticize the leaders, church pastors, would always encourage the gossips. Normally they start some lie or gossip, it starts to spread, and then they try to gather people around them who would follow and become like rebellions against the leaders or authorities. But normally it's a very important message, because I know this is happening in churches, in home groups, that some small groups arise and they become to go against, let's say, their pastor. They start to pray for these witchcraft prayers, saying, let's pray for the pastor that their eyes would be opened. Because they always see that you're doing something wrong, that their pastor doesn't know how to lead the church, always seeing their mistakes, and they think they know better. And in families, God planned leaders and authorities, just like in marriage, a man is considered to be a leader, and naturally narcissistic people will tend to always go against authorities. They would want to just disobey the authorities and leaders. And but if the man is being the narcissist one, he is acting like a tyrant, like he's just giving cold commands to his wife, saying, just commanding the woman what she has to do. I'm the man, you have to listen to me. Because I'm the head of the family. But beware of this behavior, because the head of the family is those who are willing to sacrifice, is the man who is willing to sacrifice, who is willing to have the spiritual authority to be like Christ, to live according his example. He's not taking the iron stick and trying to beat up everyone according to his egoism, his desires, his tyranny. Even in home groups, you lead us. If you feel insecure, if you feel fear, you would always give these harsh commands to others just by using your authority as a leader. But you would always have some selfish hidden desires. And this is only the flesh nature manifesting. And this is not some kind of wisdom or, but this is only when you want to push your desires, your ideas on others. When you feel insecure that they will not obey you. And women that know that God really set man as authority in family, in marriage. And we have to learn to respect, we cannot destroy our marriages, relationships with our selfish behavior and intentions. Be careful if you just want to push your desires, your wishes, your ego, your ideas, but not you're not applying the word of God. Usually the target of the spirit of Jezebel is the prophet in church, because prophets are those who are able to recognize the spirit, who spots. And usually these people would try to put down these people of authority in church. They would try to go against them, to spread some lies, rumors. And these people can act in an aggressive way, but they can also be very sneaky, trying to look very helpful, sweet, loving. They can even do good deeds. And they're like these spider who's hunting, who puts something to attract others to gain the praise. And if you notice this behavior in yourself, you need a big liberation. I will continue talk later on how to do it, how to leave this wrong behavior pattern. Correction, criticism, correction from others, warnings, it's really needed and for others, for us, because sometimes we don't see ourselves, but others can really tell from looking from the side. But if you are not letting anyone say any advice or if you can't accept any criticism, then you only put yourself in this burden, and you're not acting from the Spirit of God. If in a family, let's say a mom or dad, they're narcissistic, normally their children would feel really insecure. They would feel they would be damaged and would try to leave these houses as soon as possible, run away, or they would do anything in order to gain that peace and do not cause any conflict in the house. Because they have learned throughout time that if they express their opinion, if they say no to something, you would instantly be eliminated. They feel like they would instantly be resisted and put down. So if you, woman, notice that you're trying to manipulate, control your husband, your children, just stop. And it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't. We shouldn't behave like this as Christians. And also, these people can look very religious, very righteous. Let's say they would go to church every Sunday. They would give offerings, generous offerings. But at the same time, they would not acknowledge their mistakes. They would not repent, would not notice what they're doing wrong. So usually only those around him, the brothers, sisters, can help us notice, give some warnings, advice, and contribute towards our change of hearts. And we know the prayer, Lord's Prayer, when he says, he prays, your will may be done. But how sometimes, very oftenly happens in families, when people join, and as the Bible verses say, two will become one, and some people usually only want to be the main, the most important personality, and everyone else is jumping according to your, just to satisfy all of your needs. But just before finishing, I want to give you some advice of what to do, how to leave this harmful patterns. It would be from Luke chapter 9, when we read, when Jesus said that, from verse, we can read from verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves. As I would repeat, you must deny yourself. And I want to really specify what I mean by denying, what it means by denying themselves. Some people think, oh, if I liked art, I can't draw anymore. If I like nature, I can't go to nature anymore. If I liked music, I can't listen to music anymore. But it's not really talking about that. It's more talking about when you have to deny your your self-righteousness, this mindset that everything has to be according to you, for you, that everything has to serve you. Do you know what is a witchcraft? It is when I pray by giving commands to God, when you think you know better how it should be. When we pray, God, please change his heart. Please make situation solve in this way. And you kind of send God from one place to another. But that's not how Jesus was praying. That's how we shouldn't be praying. And it's only coming from arrogance, from all of our affirmations, our commandments. They have to come, they have to arise from fully listening to the Holy Spirit, to denying self, to your ego nature, your flesh nature, your arrogance, pride, that understanding that everything has to be according to you. It's dying to yourself. It's maybe thinking that maybe you don't know how it's supposed to be. It is allowing that things can go in a different direction, not according to how you understood or wanted. These people who usually fight these fights in their hearts, they are a lot burdened heavily because they want to control. They want everything to be according to their understanding. That's also how perfectionism is happening, when people think that everything has to be perfect. But this is only some kind of abstraction, abstract idea in your head. Everything, we have to accept that everything, it could be different, it could be not how we wanted. It's very, it's torturing you, and it's really tiring to those around you if they always have to try to please you and make everything according to your understanding, your way. But the Bible is encouraging us to deny ourselves, not living to this mindset as everything is for me, according to me. But as being Christians, we can still be influenced by wrong spirits, wrong selfishness and flesh nature, which we still have to fight and defeat. These people who always are influenced by their emotions, their desires, you would not have any discipline. You would think, oh, today I don't want to pray, I don't want to read the Bible, I don't want to go to church, I'd rather watch some TV. Maybe I want to judge somebody, to compare myself to others, and maybe you compare yourself in order to feel better about yourself when you judge other, thinking, I'm not as bad as somebody else. You have no fear of God when you criticize others, when you judge their actions. You judge leaders, your pastors, how they are not capable of leading the church. And when you talk badly about your husband to others, and then you're surprised why everything is so bad at home. But it is a dangerous behavior, which has bad results, and that's why Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, you have to die to yourself. And we probably all have seen the Passion of Christ, that movie. It was really showing that scene of crucifixion, of his pain. And sometimes I couldn't even watch because of how terrible it looked. What does it mean? It means that denying self really hurts, that it's painful, it shouldn't be easy. It's not an easy way. And Jesus was condemned without any reason. He was a righteous man. He didn't do anything wrong, and they accused him. Christianity shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't only be acting according to your wishes and desires, not only trying to please yourself and having this mindset that today I don't want to read the Bible because I don't feel like it. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to always... If we want to follow Christ, if we want to be his disciples, we have to always deny ourselves. As the paradox in the Bible that says, if you want to save your life, you have to lose your life. If you want to have life, you have to say no to your flesh desires. But it's a constant fight. We have to be radical and say, let your will be done, not my will. And not only looking for what's best for me, what I want, but what others want, how I can serve them. But the spirit of Jezebel, it doesn't mean that it's always in you. Sometimes we can only behave influenced by it. And if you have noticed these patterns in your behavior, if you have recognized yourself, the first thing to do is come to God and repent, say, I'm sorry, God, I have noticed that I behave in this way. Please forgive me and help me to walk out of it. Help me change. Help me to live according to your will, your way. And next time I'm going to show how to walk out of this control of this spirit. Or if you're being controlled by people next to you, your close ones. But the first thing to do is do not agree, do not tolerate the selfish, egoistic behavior. We have to learn to set the boundaries and say stop it. You cannot treat me in this way. We have to be, of course, loving and respecting. We cannot lose these things. But at the same time, we have to set the boundaries. And normally when you're being controlled, you're in fear, you feel, what would happen if I say no? And sometimes our confidence is really low that we can't even resist and we can't confront. But first thing, you have to run to the Lord, you have to run to Christ, so He can restore you, so He can build your self-worth and value to show how deeply loved you are, and then you can go and confront these people who are trying to control and wrongly rule you. if we are not confronting this flesh behavior, nature in others, we don't help them grow and we don't grow ourselves. If these words sound too harsh, it's like taking some medicine that's not pleasant, but I know it's really useful. I know it's good. It's important to hear the message. And this behavior, this spirit, this trying to control is really, really destroying the work in church, God's work, and it can distinguish. It can just put down the spirit of God, His movement. And now I want to invite others to come, and we will together pray for families, for relationships, for liberation. And whoever wants to walk to the freedom, I guarantee that you will. Only if you're willing to. If you recognize that you have this mindset, that everything has to be for you, according to your understanding, everything has to please you. I believe that God is calling you to stop, because I also forgot to mention self-pity, that you try to work through that, manipulate through that. But in all of these things, the main point is concentrating to yourself only.